All right, that's my cue. We're live from New York City. So this is either a beloved day or a dreaded day for most worldwide. The end of another year. You're either happy or you cannot wait to flip the calendar. Actually, throw that calendar out and grab out and put a new one on a wall. I'd say 2015 was pretty good for me. I'd say it was very good. I was hoping for some other things to happen that didn't come to fruition. But overall, hey, life is good. Family's healthy. I'm good. Fairly sane. Hanging out here with the fine folks at PRN. And you guys, listeners, PRN listeners, couldn't be happier about that. So what does today have in store for you tonight? You hang out on a couch? Couch potato? Nothing wrong with that. Whatever floats your boat. Are you going to go to Times Square? That's something I always long to do. Always long to do. And then 9/11 happened. And then I'm like, well, I'm never going to do it. Because, for example, you have to go in about 6 or 8 hours before midnight tonight. And you have to go through crazy security. You have to get wanded twice. Hey, if you're into getting wanded, this is the place for you. Because you'll be wanded twice. Not once, but twice. And if, God forbid, you snuck something in like a flask or a cocktail, some libation, and you have to go to the bathroom, you have to leave the safeguarded area. And then you have to get in back of line again and get wanded all over again. Probably like an hour or two later, you'll find your friends. So that's kind of a crazy thing to do. But you know what? If you're traveling from a different part of the country or a different part of the world, it is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But I had decided years ago after 9/11 that there's no way I'm going to do it now. I had an interest in it, but, you know, with all that craziness in terms of security, understandable, 6,000 cops, 6,000 men in blue. Actually, they're not all going to be in blue because, of course, got to have the undercover guys. But it's pretty cool. And also in Times Square, you're going to see some great performances by Demi Lovato, Taylor Swift. Pretty big, Taylor Swift. Carrie Underwood, one of my guilty pleasures. Charlie Puth, Luke Bryan. Actually, Charlie Puth, there's an interesting story there. My sister, who will probably kill me after this story, I do believe had a crush on Charlie Puth's father years ago. We're talking about probably 2 decades ago. And so I was much younger, and I actually was asked, because I've always been handy around the house. Even though I'm visually impaired, I've always been working around the house, you know, carpentry, painting, all that stuff, electrical. So I don't know how I got roped into this, but Charlie Puth's father, I don't know his name, we'll call him Charlie Sr. Charlie Sr., I guess, was building a house or renovating a house, and I got roped into staining side of this house. So what happened was my sister dropped me off early in the morning, and Charlie Sr. said, okay, here's what I need you to do. Here's the ladder. Here's the stain. I'll be back in a couple hours. I'm like, okay. Next thing you know, the sun's out. I have nothing to drink. I'm really hungry, tired, and I'm like, whoa. Wait a minute, how did this happen, man? And who would know years later that his son, Charlie Puth, would become a sort of an overnight sensation? Of course, overnight sensations are usually a decade or two in the making, but of course we hear about him one day and haven't heard about him the day before. But that's kind of a small world story there because my sister called me up. She's like, you're not going to believe, remember Charlie Puth? I'm like, no. Oh, remember the guy? Yeah, the house you did? Yeah. And yeah, when you finally came to pick me up and I was dehydrated, exhausted, with no food, but his house did look good because I did a nice job. Anyway, that's kind of my small world Charlie Puth story. Oh, by the way, the show is Insight. My executive producer reminded me to tell me what the show is, who I am. My name is Mark Farrell. We have a lot of information and great topics to cover today. Of course, it all circles around you, 888-874-4888, 888 874-4888. And also, give me an email. For some reason, I'm not getting texts right now or tweets. I don't know why. But you can email me at mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. Mark at Mark Farrell, F as in Frank, A-R-R-E-L-L, motivation.com. Tell me where you're listening. And if you're in the country, of course, you can call 888-874-4888. And let me know a lot of different things we're going to be talking about. New Year's resolutions. Are you a resolver or have you resolved not to resolve? I can't blame you there. You know, there's lots of things that people strive for to do anew each and every year. Some of them come true. Some of them don't. Actually, last year, coincidentally, I didn't choose this because it was a New Year's thing. It just happened to fall on like a day or two before New Year's Eve or the New Year. So I gave up Sweet and Low because I was like living on that stuff because I was a Dunkin' Donuts fresh brewed iced tea unsweetened junkie. But I would sweeten it with Sweet and Low and a packet or two. And of course, realizing that the evidence on that is unsubstantiated in terms of not being a carcinogen. So I said, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be imbibing in this. So I cut that out. So it's over a year now that I've stopped using Sweet and Low. So I'm pretty happy about that and cut down on the tea. Not that it was a major lifestyle change, but, you know, any addiction or any habit is hard to change. So we'll talk about all those things. I'd like to hear about what you are into for the next year, what you can't stand about the upcoming year, like the presidential election that seems like it's been going on for 2 years now. things that were great for you in 2015, things that you just can't wait to forget about and move on. Maybe lifestyle changes, a job change, dietary, nutritional, financial, personal, maybe relationship change. So there's a lot of ground to cover. Think about it. Ponder it. Give me a call. 888-874-4888. And also remind me of a very cool thing I've done a few times in the city. Not in a couple years. Unfortunately, it's sold out right now. But have you ever heard of the Midnight Run? It's in Central Park. Actually goes off at midnight. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom, the gun goes off. So it'll be 2016 and thousands of people are in Central Park doing a 4 mile run. So it's not a lengthy run, but it's more of a fun run. People get dressed up in all kinds of crazy costumes. Fireworks are going off overhead. They have great DJs and there are no water stops. Instead, there are champagne stops. Very cool, right? Unique. So it's kind of neat. Also, if you want to spend the night kind of like doing something different, I remember the few times I did it, I'd go out for like a big dinner, like 6 o'clock, go home, sleep, wake up, walk over to the park with my then friend, girlfriend, distant memory, and another lifetime ago, run the race and then go to a bar with your number on. People would be like, what'd you just do? So it's kind of cool. And it's a real unique way to start the year. Also kind of a healthy way. As well. My idea also is I teach spin at a gym in Freehold, New Jersey, and because I'm a big avid cyclist, outdoor cyclist, but it was a great way also to keep fit all year round, winter months, etc. I teach it at the ungodly hour of 5:30 in the morning a couple times a week because, yeah, that's the kind of person I am, a little insane in the membrane. But I was thinking about be cool, and I'm sure there's probably a gym near you somewhere across the country that does something for New Year's Eve. Because what a cool way would be to start your new year off by, you know, doing something healthy like the Midnight Run in Central Park. Oh, by the way, that's a New York Road Runners Club event. I believe it's sold out, but off the record, I'm sure if you went there at 11:30 and you mixed in the crowd, the gun goes off, it's not going to be it's not an officially timed race, I don't believe, because it's more of a very lackadaisical race. Just go out there, have fun. So, I mean, if you don't have a number bib, I don't think you're going to be yanked. So I didn't say that. You didn't hear that on Insight on PRN.FM. My name isn't Mark Farrell, and I didn't say that. So, but if you want to do it, I'd say go for it. Anyway, so gyms across the country, I think that'd be kind of a cool thing if they opened even an hour or two before midnight so you can work out into the new year. Maybe there's a lottery or something or spin classes. You know, I mean, the fitness phenomenon has been huge for the last couple of years, and it's not going anywhere. It's just getting bigger and bigger, the craze. So I was thinking about things that I would like to do and or ideas and concepts that if I had a gym, I would do. It also reminded me of a very cool, interesting New Year's Eve I spent back in the millennium, the new millennium, 2000. I was dating this woman whose sister was married to the general manager of the Plaza Hotel in New York. So the Plaza Hotel was swank back then. And she said, you know, let's go there and hang out. We'll get a room for the night on the house. And, you know, it'll be more of a, like a ball type of atmosphere. Pretty hoity-toity. But I figured, yeah, sure, why not? Let's give it a whirl. So we went there, and it's exactly kind of what I thought. The room was beautiful. I mean, very artisanal, and I mean, high ceilings, very, how do I explain it? Over the top. Ostentatious, but you know what? Hey, it was fun. So we're going to the party, and it's midnight comes and goes. You know, the world doesn't end because it's, you know, 2000. and everything, you know, is going on. And I said to her, hey, listen, let's go to have my New Year's Eve now. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, listen, let's go to the Upper East Side, and I'll show you what a real New Year's Eve is about. So I used to work at a few bars on the Upper East Side, Victory Cafe, 90th and 3rd, Richter's Bar, which was two doors down from the Victory. Legendary places there for a long, long time, and unfortunately got bulldozed half the block about 2 or 3 years later and made way for condos. But anyway, I digress. So we went to these bars and had a great time, of course. Now it's like 2 or 3 in the morning, and we're in Richter's. I think the doors are shut now. It's closed. Sun's coming up. And here we are behind the bar. People are in gowns. People are dressed in T-shirts, short, whatever the case may be. And we're just having a time of our lives. So it's kind of like two New Year's Eves in one. And I remember the sun was up at this point. And I'm like, all right, maybe we should consider leaving. So I actually am embarrassed to say this, but I did have my car. And my rationalization back then was like, it's New York City. Yeah, I've had a few dozen. But how much trouble can I get into driving across town? Not too much, right? New Year's morning, cops are tired. They're not going to be pulling anybody over. So luckily, my theory was correct, or I just made it back to the hotel correctly, safely. I remember going back to the hotel. Now it's probably, actually what we did was we grabbed some bagels, went out into the Hudson and sat on a park bench and just watched the sun come up. And it was really, really neat. I really, really enjoyed it. Actually, no, we did not watch the sun come up because that's the west side. So I was wrong. See, I still have leftover drunken memories. So we watched the boats go by, and I'm in my tux. She's still in her dress, and people are looking at me and us and just smiling because, hey, why not? Because the people, I guess, who didn't go out were up early going for a long walk, a lollygagging on the promenade along the Hudson area, and it was a great time. So I remember going back to the hotel, and I'm like, oh, yes, finally we can lay down. And she's like, listen, why lay down now? It's like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. We have to leave at 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, you're right. So we got a room at the Plaza that we never stayed in. Never even had a maid the bed. The maid was like probably stoked. So that was my experience in 2000. So I'd love to hear your experiences as well as all the things that you probably want to incorporate into your life in the new year. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. So in the year 2016, a few big things for myself. Going to be turning 50, 50. Can't believe it. The actual number sounds so foreign to me, 50. And when I think of like me, myself turning 50, I just can't, I don't know if it's the beginning of having a hard time of turning 50 or just really just not accepting that it could be 50. Or is that one in the same? Maybe that's it. One in the same. I don't know, but I just don't feel anywhere near 50. I don't know what 50 should feel like, but I just feel very young. Maybe it's my kid or kids, Luke and Danny, who keep me very, very young. My wife, I don't know, but I just feel great. So there's a few things that I'm going to be embarking upon. The last time I ran a New York City Marathon was in, I have to pause for a second here, 97? I think 97. So I ran it in 96 and 97, two New York City Marathons. So I think for my 50th milestone birthday, I'm going to have to run the marathon again, New York City Marathon. So I'll run it for a charity. Probably Foundation Fighting Blindness or Vision-Related Charity or New York Achilles Club, which is a great organization for people with disabilities. It's a phenomenal organization. People who have no arms, no legs, who are blind, who are deaf. I mean, you name the disability, and they represent and or give the capabilities, whatever they need, sneakers, prosthetics, racing chairs. Unbelievable. Dick Traum is a founding person. So maybe I would race for them, run for them, if they would have me. So that is something I'm looking forward to. At the same time, I'm like, oh no, a marathon. But marathon is especially when you get older and you've done a few, it's much more, I should say, less daunting because it's mostly mental. I've done training. I'm in good shape right now. If I had to run a marathon next month, I could. I'd obviously have to up my mileage a great deal, but I have no doubt that I could finish it in a somewhat respectful time. And the time thing is not something I'm really shooting for. The both marathons that I ran were sub 4 hours, and so being almost 6'3", that's a pretty good time. And so I'm shooting for, if I could do 4 hours or 4:15, that's cool. I'm not looking to break the bank, just looking to, get through it healthy, train, have a nice training and healthy a couple months leading up to it. But I'm not going to train a lot because of my other endeavor I'm about to tell you. So I'm about to make somewhat of a reveal here. And pardon me for being vague. I don't want to reveal something that I'm definitely going to say I'm doing. And I wish I could fully commit to this at this point in time, but the research isn't complete. And I don't want to commit to something that I haven't fully have all the details on to find out if it's completely feasible. But I will give you the overall kind of picture of what it is. And we have a few people who are on hold, so please hang in there. I'll get your calls in a minute. And if you want to call, it's 888-874-4888. So my major athletic endeavor for 2016, in addition to the marathon, would be to ride a spin bike for 24 hours straight. Has it been done before? Yes. Have I done it before? No. Is it something that I think I can do? Yes. A lot of training involved? Yes, because just to do anything athletic endeavor for that long, even running you can kind of mix up a little bit. You can change your pace. You can slow down. You can walk, etc. And to a certain degree, when you're on a spinning bike, now we've all seen spinning bikes, right? Those are the bikes that only have one wheel. It's not a training bike where you have a real bike and it's on rollers. This is an actual spin bike. And there's different manufacturers. I actually prefer the Kaiser bikes. I think they're much, much better than the Johnny G spin trademark bikes. And they're very smooth. They're stiff, unlike a regular bike, because there's no flex, because you're actually not moving. You're stationary. So, but the cool thing is, you know, you can control a lot of the environment circumstances, unless you're outside. So what I plan to do is do this at a major New York City landmark. Now, why would I want to ride an indoor cycle or a spin bike for 24 hours straight? Well, I want to bring attention to my speaking business, Mark Farrow Motivation, on a national level, because of all the things I've done in the past, triathlons where I haven't been able to see the swim course, all the things I talk about that have people kind of like marveling about what I was able to do. And so this is something that a lot of people could do in life, but I'm going to do it just to prove to people that, you know, resiliency and determination and perseverance are huge in life. No matter what you do in life, every day somebody has a marathon, whether it's at work, family, whatever the case may be. You put all these things together, it can be draining, can be really, really tough physically and mentally. So my idea is to prove to people that, you know, whatever you put your mind to, and sometimes it's not something that you're willing to do in life, you know, whether it's a job situation that you are just really, really unhappy, extremely unhappy, a relationship that you're just really scared to get out of, whether it's you're staying in it for the kids because you don't have financial means to go out on your own, numerous reasons. To prove that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Again, whether it's physical, mental, decision. And I certainly couldn't do this by myself. It also proves that you need a good network of support. So I would need somebody, obviously, to help me with nutrition when I'm on the bike, different media aspects, maybe like a trainer, etc. But the reality is that, you know, I can do this for 24 hours, stay on a bike. You can go slower, you can sit up. You can get out of the saddle. That's the seat. It's called a saddle on a bike. There's a lot of things you can do to stretch your legs, stop from cramping. I can eat. I can drink, hydrate. I can even go to the bathroom on the bike, which I have before. Exactly. Keep it simple. If need be, pull a curtain aside. And the thing is, I will do this for a major foundation. And there's one and two in mind. Again, I don't want to get into specifics because we haven't met with these organizations, but I think it would be a great way to support and raise money for these foundations or foundation. And what also I'd like to do is have a bike or two behind me or beside me, and have other people ride with me. And these people would have to donate money for the cause to ride along with me for a half hour, whatever the block of time would be or will be. And I think it's going to send a good message and hopefully get some good media attention and promote one of my most popular talks on overcoming adversity. We all have challenges in life. It's what we do with them that define us. I mean, we don't want to sit on the sidelines of life, right? And let the world go by? No, that wouldn't be any fun. So that's my reveal. I'm sorry about being a little vague on the details, some of the major details, but it's kind of cool, right? So let me hear about something that you want to challenge yourself for in 2016. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's reinventing yourself. Maybe it's getting married because you're totally freaked out about committing to one person. Totally understandable. There's so many different things that we can talk about that could be affecting you, or maybe it's something that you're going to be getting out of, which is interesting as well. We're going to talk all about that and more when Insight continues. Give me a call at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Be right back.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
The story behind the story, your story, my story, is all in the mix on Lead Stories right here on PRN.FM. This is Utrice Lead inviting you to share your thoughts and opinions and expand your knowledge about critical issues of the day, Monday through Friday, right after Gary Null's show. Listen live to a broadcast or get Lead Stories whenever you want from PRN's archive. You can even rate the show on iTunes. Now pass the word. Tell this story to everyone you know. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi there, this is Harvey Wasserman. I am the host of the Solartopia Green Power Wellness Show, which airs every Monday at 3 p.m. at PRN.FM. We cover the great issues of your health and wellness, of the health and wellness of the planet, of moving ahead towards a Solartopian, green-powered, holistic Earth. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cheryl Selman, the host of What Women Must Know. As a naturopathic doctor, psychotherapist, author, and women's health advocate, I've discovered that there is a lot that women must know when it comes to their health and hormones. So whatever your hormonal or health challenge may be, the answers are waiting for you at What Women Must Know, where leading authors and holistic practitioners, researchers, and wise elders will give you the keys to getting your hormones back on track naturally. Be sure to listen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM. And if you didn't catch it live, you can listen 24/7 on the archive. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, I'm Bhavani, and I'd like to invite you to tune into my show, IE Green, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. to hear the latest news about our health, the environment, and the good food movement. I'll also share with you one of my favorite recipes, so tune in on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Five, four, three. Oh, whoa, it's too early. Another 11 hours or so. So we kiss 2015 goodbye. Sayonara. Make room for 2016, baby. My name is Mark Farrell. The show's Insight. The network is Progressive Radio Network, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Tell me what you're doing tonight. Maybe tomorrow you're having a party. Those are actually pretty good. It's actually a very good incentive to stay in on New Year's Eve if you know you're going to go to a Sunday brunch or breakfast or lunch, whatever the case may be, on New Year's Day. Pretty cool. Tie a good buzz on. I was just talking to somebody recently. You know what I miss? I miss good beer buzz early in the morning. Who wrote that? Sheryl Crow. But it's true. It's a great line. There's nothing like having a good beer buzz on an empty stomach. I like to do that in the summertime on the weekends. Just crack open one beer, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, empty stomach, bam, feel good. Anyway, not condoning that. Just saying. So listen, before we get back into what's going to happen for 2016, rather. Got to get used to saying it and writing it, right? I want to read you a bunch of letters that I got throughout the year from different places that I spoke at. These are from either elementary schools or high schools. And this particular lot of letters I have are from special education department, from students that I spoke to. And they're really, really important to me. It kind of really, really resonates, underscores, and solidifies why I do what I do when I'm not here, speaking to schools and organizations about overcoming adversity, mental health, anti-bullying, drugs and alcohol, and more. So I'm going to give you the crux of this. Dear Mr. Farrell, thank you for coming to our school. You gave a great presentation. Yada, yada, yada. Your presentation is very inspirational. It made me feel good about my difference. I am a senior, and I have overcome many different obstacles, and I feel that I can continue to overcome more than I have thanks to you and your words of wisdom. Sincerely, Samantha. Nice, right? Dear Mr. Farrell, I'm a senior at blah, 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 blah. A few weeks ago, you came to my school. You motivated me to believe in myself even more. I have ADHD, and that was a big change in my life. Thank you for coming. You did a fantastic job, and your difference also makes much... Wait. It's hard to decipher the writing here. Sorry, guys. Between that and my visual impairment, yeah, piece of cake here. You did a fantastic job, and your difference does make each and every one of us stronger. So my motto, what this gentleman's referring to is my motto is my difference makes me stronger. So he's incorporating that into his life, which is pretty cool. Dear Mr. Farrell, I'm a senior, da-da-da-da. I will always remember your slogan, your difference makes me stronger. That slogan is true about me and my life. At first, it was hard for me because I was really scared and shy, and sometimes it makes me feel bad about myself. I'm so glad that I remember everything that you said since you told me that you also had major struggles in school. I have come out of my shell and I opened up to people in life for the first time. Thank you so much for coming and for encouraging me. I mean, this is great stuff. I mean, this is the reason why. Oh, by the way, that was, who was that? That was, oh, I can't read his name. Sorry. or her name. So one more here. Thank you so much for coming to our school to tell us about overcoming adversity. I'm a junior and I am deaf and I know I can do anything I want in life because you have done everything that you want to do in life. Thank you again. Sincerely, Munso? Not sure. Something. I don't want to read last names for obvious purposes. So those are a few letters I got. There's a stack more. I quickly went through them to share with you some of the really, really positive impacts and feedback that I got from kids. And I love it. And also, it's pretty cool. When I'm out recently in the last month, this is pretty cool. I'm in Home Depot and I walk in and Home Depot often has greeters at the door. Like, hi, how are you? Welcome to Home Depot. Can I help you? Are you looking for something? Yeah, I'm looking for 10 penny nails. Okay, aisle 10. So I walk in there and there's a gentleman in a wheelchair and I said, hey, how are you? He goes, good, good. He goes, hey, I know you. He goes, you spoke at my college. And I was like, oh, great. What college? He goes, oh, Montclair University. So his name is Andrew. And we had a great conversation, about 10 minutes worth of dialogue. And he told me what he enjoyed about it. And it just made me feel really good for the rest of the day because it just proved to me again And I know this, but of course, we always sometimes take things for granted, even though the job I have is obviously to interact with people and to give them my message, several messages. But overall, we'll say one message. But to know that it really impacts people's lives is just astounding. It really, really empowers me to obviously keep doing what I'm doing. And then I was on the beach. This is about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was a fairly mild day. My wife and I were like, okay, we need a good holiday picture for holiday cards to send out. So I said, okay, let's go to the beach because that'd be a good backdrop. Sun is out, a little windy, but, you know, the kids love it. They want to bring their buckets. We can't dig in sand. It's cold, but let's go and have a good time. So we're on the beach, and then we're trying to take some pictures, and I see a bunch of surfers, and they all have wetsuits on, of course. And then there's one surfer with this really long lens, and I was like, wow, it must be really cool to look through that lens. So I walk up to them, there's one woman, and said, hey, how you doing? You know, it must be some really cool shots you're taking. She turned around. She goes, yeah. She goes, hey, you were at my school. So all these random different places. And I run into people who hear me speak. And the last one I'll share with you is that at my local store, grocery store, Acme, this is actually a few years ago, but I see this woman all the time. And it's kind of a nice story because we've kind of become food store friends. She works in a deli counter. And years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I walk in and order something. She goes, do you speak at schools? I said, yeah. She goes, my daughter heard you speak. And she goes on and on about you. And I said, well, I'm thinking that's great. But how does this woman know it was me? And I asked her this. She goes, oh, she went onto your website. She's read everything on your website, looks at all the pictures, listens to all the audio. I'm like, that's so cute. Anyway, so I always talk to her about her daughter, how she's doing, et cetera. So it's always nice to be reminded about the importance of what I do and what everyone else does in life. Because no matter what you do, whether you think it's mundane or not, it has an impact on somebody, obviously, right? So I was thinking about some things that we can all probably incorporate in some fashion or another to help us grow, right? And a lot of these are very, very obvious, but, you know, they're still important. Like, eat healthier. Like, do you want to incorporate tofu in your life? Yeah. Tofu actually is very good. I never had it until a couple years ago, but I really dig it. Exercise. Of course, you know, I can't impart enough about how important exercise is to me because, I mean, if I don't exercise, I go insane. I go crazy. I just feel like a caged animal. And it makes me really feel, of course, healthy on the inside, but also like my acumen. If I work out in the morning, I just feel much more like my brain is spot on. Of course, if I get a decent night's sleep versus like 4 or 5 hours the night before, but it just feels like you're just ready to go versus like someone else getting to work who's kind of still ramping up and drinking coffee. You're like full speed, man. So I really kind of implore you, if that's something that you're considering, to check it out. How about sleep more and get better sleep? Yeah, that's me. I need sleep and better sleep. Definitely. What about searching for a new job? You've been longing to do it. There's plenty of excuses why you can't do it. Not enough time, because it kind of takes like almost like a part-time job time-wise to find a new job. But the payoff can be huge. Happiness, more money. Do I need to go on? No, probably not. Right? It's a great thing. And also reinventing yourself. Well, a lot of you know this, but just a quick reminder, the radio station I worked for in New York City prior to here at PRN was 101.9 RXP, The Rock Experience, and they folded back in 2011. And so everyone was fired. We all lost our jobs, et cetera. And I had been thinking about starting a speaking business and was starting to slowly ramp it up maybe 6 months beforehand. And so I realized, even though I've been doing radio, it's kind of reinventing myself because it's a whole different audience. I'm sharing all my personal stories, my personal life experiences, and I have to market myself, I have to do sales, I have to do billing, all these different things. So I had to really reinvent myself. So was it hard? It was challenging. I'd say the easiest part was actually the performance, getting on stage, sharing my material, developing it, fine-tuning it, developing the different speeches and or presentations. That kind of came easy to me. But the hard part was selling people who I was, because here I was, you know, in a different industry, but still not totally unrelated because I was always speaking to people on stage or on the radio with my other talk show. And of course, here at PRN.FM. So reinventing is something that can be daunting, certainly not impossible. And there's so many different resources out there. And resources in terms of people as well who've the thing is, I mean, if you were reinventing yourself 10, 15 years ago, people would be like, whoa, really? But now they're like, cool, that's great, you can do it. Because, I mean, millennials, first of all, maybe I shouldn't use them as an excuse or as a parallel, as an example. Let's use Gen Xers as like myself. To reinvent yourself is pretty common. Millennials, I guess, reinvent themselves every 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years because they're switching jobs constantly. Much more than Gen Xers, but Gen Xers are certainly switching jobs and changing jobs and/or professions much more frequently than 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So it's understandable. It is doable. It is possible. Does it take focus, hard work, time, and a lot of pain, sweat, and equity? Yes. But I urge you, don't delay. I mean, start doing it on the side, part-time, whenever you can squeeze in the time, the research, etc. But, you know, definitely do it. So another thing I was thinking about that we can all probably incorporate into our lives for the next year, connect with friends more frequently. How many people have you gone to college with, you used to work with, maybe cousins, just some good friends that you would just love to hang out with, but you just can't seem to find a time? I know it's hard. And I'm not talking about social media because it's kind of cool to see so-and-so graduate from eighth grade or high school from afar, but to really kind of connect because it just makes you feel these are dear friends of yours that maybe were friends of yours or a major part of your life for years or maybe not even that long, but still are very significant to you in your life. You just don't have the time or logistically, it's just not convenient for you guys to get together. But, you know, try to connect. It really is just warms your soul. How about putting down forms of digital devices? I think that's something we all should do, right? Because it really does have an effect on our communication skills and in terms of just there's nothing like a good conversation with people, even if it's on the phone. There's nothing wrong having a good phone conversations because it doesn't replace texting or emailing. Hey, and those work in certain times and certainly for professional reasons, but you know, if you can just do a little bit less, I'm sure you'd probably find a little bit more happiness in there. Here's one I could really, really relate to years ago. Drink less. That would always be one of my New Year's resolutions. Now one of my New Year's resolutions is probably to drink more. But yeah, years ago, it was always drink less. Here's where the order of my New Year's resolutions before I turned a major, major life leaf was to drink less, eat healthier, and eat slower. And drugs were in there somewhere. And what else? Probably to, there was one more. I can't remember what it was. It'll come to me. But yeah, so drink less. Maybe that's 1 year. Maybe it's not. Volunteerism. Become more philanthropic. Donate time. I mean, if you don't have the money, donate your time because that's invaluable. People are always looking for individuals to donate time. I mean, there's a local Habitat for Humanity store by me. I volunteered for once or twice in terms of building a home. I donate old furniture, toys, stuff that's in good shape to them because I know it could benefit a family or a child. And so you can't really discount at all, whatever your motivation is in life. You know, there's a hobby for you, whether it's pets, a shelter. There's a farm located around the corner from me. And I told the family that owns this farm, I'm like, listen, I want to become a farmer in my next life. So I need to volunteer for you and help you guys. And they're like, no. I'm like, really? I wouldn't say this if I didn't want to do it. And they had a hay truck arriving this past Monday. I'm like, listen, I'll help you unload it. They're like, great, great, great. And then they called me back and said, listen, we have a bunch of college kids who are willing to do it for free. I'm like, well, so am I. I'm willing to do it for free. And I can outsmoke, unload a truck by any standards compared to a college student. But anyway, so I imagine I'll be a farmer soon. But the point is that I did volunteer to the farm around the corner, and that's what it's about. It's not about, you know, getting paid. It's about helping people out. I don't want to see that farm go anywhere. It's a great family business. Of course, you know, if they close their business, that means that I'm sure a development would be built and be confines behind my house. But that's not the reason I'm doing it. And also, you think me helping or volunteering a bit here and there is going to save that? No, I don't think so. How about save more money? How about spend more time doing the things you love? Tap into your creative side. Remember when you were young, you used to color or draw, just do things that really made you have fun? I mean, by a show of hands, how many people still color or draw? Yeah, not too many, right? I didn't think so. So you can't lose that creative side because it's a great outlet. Don't shortchange yourself because there's so many different things. If it's woodworking, if it's painting, you don't have to be good. Sometimes the worse you are, it's even more comical because you can show people and be like, listen, this is what I tried to do. This is my attempt. But, you know, it's cool and you'll get better. Take a class, take a course, take a different language. You know, maybe it's for something that is work related that you're totally into. And if you love your job and you want to do something on the side or your job will help pay for that or continuing education, that's great stuff. How about travel? If, you know, time and money permit, take advantage if you can't go far of what's in your backyard. I mean, no matter where you live, there's got to be a gem nearby. If you're in a tri-state area, there's tons of gems. Also, you have Boston, you have D.C. I mean, I'm not even including New York City area where there's just countless things, countless amazing, fun, iconic things to do and that are free as well. And I'm sure there are great, fun things to do by you or not too far from you. And be creative. Or make your own, right? Read more. Oh, that's one of the things I always wanted to do. On my list that I told you before that I couldn't remember the last thing, read more. When I was commuting into the city, I was never behind. I was always on top of my reading. And now that, you know, I don't commute as much because I drive to, fortunately, I'm able to drive with my telescopic devices because of being visually impaired. I was given those, which is great. But the downside is when I do drive is that I can't read. But listen to talk radio such as PRN.FM is a great thing to do. But I do miss reading more. I love mysteries. I just love spending the time. It's a great escape. And one of the things actually I was remiss about saying for 2016, the third endeavor, one of them was, again, running the New York City Marathon. The next one was riding a spin bike for 24 hours straight. The third thing is finishing my book. I'm in the process of writing a book. I'd have to say in the very, very early stages, like chapter one. It's not for lack of material. I got the material. It's just sitting down and making the time and clearing my brain and just going. Because when I did and have done it, sat down and written, it just flows out of me. So maybe I should just record it. Maybe that's what I should do, record it and just have it transcribed. Thanks for your idea. Yeah, because you guys are good listeners. Yeah. It's a one-way dialogue, but, you know, your feedback is coming in. Thanks, by the way, for your emails. I got an email from a gentleman in London who's listening live, who obviously is closer to 2016 than we are. And also, this person did not sign their name. They're listening in Idaho. Thank you for your email. Can't figure out what that email would stand for. But anyway, just a reminder, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Going to more live shows, concerts, that could be something that you're striving to do more in 2016. I myself definitely are. Like to get some tickets to see Bruce. His actual show, it's a great show, but his actual, the cost of his shows are actually pretty reasonable. And some festivals. I was thinking maybe for my 50th, in addition to the running the marathon, what about going to Burning Man? Now, if you don't know about Burning Man, all I have to say to you is just Google it, because I can never do it justice. All I can say, it is a hedonistic party for 7 days that will make you a new person. Not that there's anything wrong with the old person, but it'll make you a new person on many different levels. Or you'll leave after an hour and say, there's no way I could do this. And the only way I could actually go to Burning Man is if I talk my wife into it. Because if I went by myself with a buddy or two, I imagine after by day two or three, I would completely forget that I was ever married and indulge in the more debaucherous activities that could lead to a lot of different trouble. So, so festivals, Burning Man, you know. What about getting involved in politics? I know, 2016, presidential election, we are all burnt out. If I hear the name Donald Trump again, I think I'm going to yak right here in the garbage can. But the reality is, if you want reform, if you want any kind of change in your life, in your neighborhood, on a national level, on a local level, even on your block, I was just talking to Jason, the program director here at PRN, and he was saying to me, he was at a neighborhood last night in a neighborhood, and everyone was bitching about the condition, I think he said, of the street, But he said nobody's doing anything about it. And, you know, kind of like a la Bernie Sanders, if you want change, you have to organize and create change. Call your congressman, local representative. These people want to take credit for getting things done. And you know what? They can take the credit. But you can take credit for organizing a petition, getting the media's attention, saying, listen, this is wrong. This is broken. This needs to be fixed. This isn't right. This is an injustice. These people are not being served correctly. This audience is not being addressed. Whatever the case may be, get organized. Let your voice be heard. One person absolutely can make a difference in this world. If you think otherwise, I'm sorry to say you're a fool, because a difference is made by one voice, and you convince someone else, or someone else jumps on board, and the ebbs and flows keep going. You know, sometimes it's a very, very tough battle, but you can fight City Hall or the local official or the Department of Public Works or whatever the case may be. We all have our battles, right? But big or small, you know, don't get intimidated by it, because if you want change, if you have the right to complain, and if you waste all your energy complaining, then turn that around, flip it on its side, man, and do something about it. But it's great, you know, the thing to do is to get involved in local politics, because you can learn a lot. You can. My father was very active in local politics. He was a Republican, and we didn't agree. And I was much younger when he died. I didn't agree with, you know, why he was a Republican. But nonetheless, I still respected and respect everybody for their beliefs, because, first of all, not every political party is right on everything, by all means. Democrats have some facts I believe are correct. Republicans have facts I believe are correct. And no one party has all the right answers. So that's why it's, you know, crucial for everyone to get together and, you know, the whole thing. So what about some things that you are just like really tired of, really, really sick of, that you like to like have banished, like not hear a lot about in 2016, not listen to, read about? ISIS is certainly one of them. And that's, I'm not trying to make this a light matter, because, you know, that's life and death. But we'd really like to see this organization, and any such organization, Al-Qaeda, just go away, disappear. I mean, the whole world is against you, man. Like, why would you consider? And I do know why, but let's end this fight. Kardashians. Who can you have more disdain for, ISIS or the Kardashians? I mentioned this before, once or twice, the presidential election. Can you stomach another debate? Oh, my God. Let's just go. I wish November was here. I wish we could go from January to November and then go back to February. But it's just really, really annoying. And it's just on every level. I can't spend any more time talking about this, because you agree, right? Guns. Will guns go away? I know I'm going to piss some people off. But the reality is, I just want guns away. We got somebody here on the phone. This is Jesse from Long Island. Jesse, what's happening, my friend? I thought we had Jesse. Jesse wants to know more about how to get into spinning. I'm sorry, I thought Jesse was on the phone. Jesse, it's pretty easy. Just go to your local gym, and I'm sure they'll give you a few tryouts, free classes. Or if the local gym doesn't have it, there's probably a spinning club near you. And don't be intimidated by people wearing crazy, like, neon bright clothes and clothes sometimes that don't belong on certain people because they're way too tight. It looks like a, what's the expression, like a 5-pound sausage in a 2-pound casing. You don't even need to wear any bike clothes, okay? Just wear shorts, T-shirt, bring a towel, and a bottle, at least a bottle of water, because you will sweat profusely, my friend, profusely. So I applaud you for trying something new. And the beauty of spinning is that you go at your own pace. Of course, there's great music that's going to drive you to go as fast and as hard as you can. But if you feel like you're getting tuckered out, man, just slow it down. Take it easy. Don't feel compelled that you have to keep up with everybody else, because it's an individual sport and or discipline, which is kind of cool. So going back to different things for things that we don't want to be dealing with in 2016 or that you're tired of, global warming, El Nino. I mean, these are serious things, but it is kind of nice having like a 70-degree Christmas Eve on the East Coast. But at the same time, it's scary, right? I mean, 50 or 70 degrees. I mean, it's 52 right now in New York City. And I'm wearing, I don't even need to wear a coat, but I have a light coat on today. I could wear it. People are wearing shorts. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, at Christmas time, you know, I've never seen so many people wearing shorts in my life. On the East Coast, of course. So what made 2015 so incredible? I would say for me, personally, it would be all the incredible feedback that I got from audience members from doing all the talks that I did nationally. And for the example of some of the letters that I read from you from high school students that resonate with me all the time and make me really crystallizes what I do. And another thing, of course, that makes each and every day for me are my kids, certainly. My two kids, I mean, they just take the wind out of my sails each and every day a few times because of something they say, something they do, a look they give you that is just priceless. So I'm sure you have parallels in your life that are like that, whether it's whether you're a parent or not, whether you have a child or not, something that's so paramount that just makes you go, wow. It could even be just, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but just as simple as a great sandwich. Man, I love a great, fresh, cold cut sandwich. Maybe it's an Italian sub, just something. And I just sit back and go like, man, life is good, right? Or traveling, going on vacation, or just having a day off sometimes. A day off is great. You get to kind of slow down, take it all in. Yeah, that's what I dig. So I got a few more letters. I just want to get to you over here. Okay, some of them are a little hard to read. Dear Mr. Farrell, thank you so much for coming to our school. You did a great, awesome job and a good job. By the way, you make me feel good about myself. 3 exclamation points. That's why I wanted to read that one. And lastly, dear Mr. Farrell, thank you very much for the motivating speech about your life. I learned so much about your life during your school years. Your speech really motivates me in my life. The speech made me a whole lot different. The speech made me a whole different person. I just want to thank you for enjoying and sharing your life experiences with me and my classmates. So there's a few more, but I just want to kind of end on a positive note like that because we all don't have a opportunity in our professions to have notes written to us in a very positive manner. But just know that somehow, you know, you're impacting people. And I love it. You should feel very, very proud of what you do. But on the flip side, if there's something that you don't do or you do that you don't enjoy, we were talking about reinvention before, take that time. It's really, really daunting. It's intimidating. You don't know where to start. I totally get it. Is there anything that you admire in other people's work? Someone that you know? And the thing is, which is cool about making a jump, you can totally call somebody up, a professional. You don't even have to have a connection to this person. Just tell them, hey, introduce yourself very politely. Whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, someone who is an entrepreneur, owns a local deli, pizza shop, whatever the case may be, someone who's in radio. I've entertained many, many calls, dozens of calls from people who want to get in radio, and I would happily give them 10, 15 minutes of my time, whether they're in college, out of college, looking for a job, looking for some insight on how to be a talk show host, a creative director, which I was, whatever the case may be, some aspect of radio. Or whatever field that is that you want to pursue. People love to talk about themselves, number one. And number two, they're really, really happy to give insight on how to get in that so-called field. Whether it's a professional path or whether it's educational, going back to further your degree or to get a degree, whatever the case may be. There are a lot of options for you. So make 2016 your year, whatever the case may be. Whether it's taking your relationship to a next level, getting married, engaged, having a child, having children, having no more children because you have too many. Whatever the case may be, it's a lot of fun, man. Embrace life. Have a great New Year's Eve, whatever you're doing, whether you're just going to be hanging out at home I'm on a couch. I'm going across the street to my neighbor's house, and we're going to have a great countdown to 2016 with some incredible food. You got to go over to an Italian person's house because they know how to live life to the fullest. And the Irish. Irish and Italian together, forget it. Just kidding. But anyway, we're going to have a great show in the 2016 year. We've got a lot of great guests lined up for January, and I'm cueing my sound engineer for my music. And we're actually going to have a new music bed that I picked out for the new year. But I really like this one. We'll find out. So I wish you all the best, my friends. Health, happiness, prosperity. Keep listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network. We know you have a lot of choices, but thanks for parking it right here each and every week for all the different shows. Special thanks to Gary Null, the founder and president of the PRN Radio Network, and especially to you for listening to each and every Thursday, to myself, Mark Farrell, right here for the host of Insight. From 11 to noon each and every Thursday. Of course, you can always check me out on my website, markfarrellmotivation.com. The happiest and merriest and healthiest of you in 2016. Talk to you soon. Enjoy.